So the passage we'll be looking at today is from Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 33. But before we begin to dive into our passage today, let's just take some time to do a brief recap of what happened earlier in Acts chapter 3 and 4. So in Acts 3, Peter and John healed a lame man from birth, and he was able to walk again. And Peter then used this opportunity to point people to Jesus, and through the miracle, which resulted in thousands of people believing in Jesus. And this led him and John to be arrested and were taken to the council of the Sanhedrin, and they were told to stop speaking and preaching in the name of Jesus. And however, Peter and John did not listen to their demands, but they were still let go because of the large number of people that are praising God for the miracle that has happened. So this brings us to where we are tonight. So the question is, once released, what happens next as the members of the first church community react to their first persecution? So let us bow our heads and pray together before we read tonight's passage together. Sovereign God, thank you so much for being each of us here tonight, Lord. And I just pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us as we listen to what you want to say to us tonight. Lord, I pray for you to open our hearts so that we can be free of distractions and be focused to what you want to say to us tonight. So Lord, be with us tonight as we dive into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in Acts 4, beginning in verse 23. So when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, so imagine if you're there, after hearing Peter and John tell their story about what happened, being arrested and then being let go and warned not to talk about and speak about Jesus, how might you respond? Well, some of us might actually listen to authorities and stop preaching, stop talking about Jesus, because they might not want to cause any more trouble, or it might get a little difficult for them. So might as well just listen to the authorities and stop preaching about Christ. Or they could flee the city. Maybe in another city it'll be better. Maybe they won't be persecuted. Or they could also plan for secret meetings where they can just maybe be underground or at a secret place where they can still talk about Jesus, but alone in like a secluded corner or a room. Or some of them might pray for deliverance, for protection, for safety, which is very understandable because I feel a lot of us, when we come across troubles, we would pray that. Or even pray for God to stop the opposition because God is able to do all things, right? But contrary to how most of us react in a situation where we are being persecuted, that's not what they did. And instead, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, set by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So that's our passage for tonight. So the most remarkable thing that stands out is that they asked for boldness over anything else. They prayed, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to their servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." And let's be honest, if I was in that situation, I probably wouldn't have prayed that prayer. Or most people that I would know probably wouldn't have done that. So how do we usually pray during troubled times? we normally pray for avoidance, for escape, and for God's protection. And it's rare for us to pray for boldness because maybe God is not really our Lord nor King, but he's more like a genie, someone that we can go to when we need something and we can put aside when we don't really need anything from him and life is going well. Or because we value comfort too much. We want safety. Safety is number one. We are obsessed with our comfort and safety, and we don't want any risk. No, zero risk is the best, and not to be different from the rest of the people, so we strive to be comfortable in our own bubbles. And we don't want to step out of a comfort zone and be led to possible danger, discomfort, and risk, because maybe we're still only thinking about ourselves. Our mindset is still, me, myself, is greater than God's kingdom, and maybe even greater than God himself. And just maybe, we don't really truly believe that God is sovereign over all. If we pray for boldness, we will not be able to blend in anymore. We'll be exposed to danger, stand out, and be in the spotlight. And so the question is, why do the first believers pray for boldness over anything else, in the midst of persecution especially? Well, let us take a look at what boldness is defined as. Boldness is a willingness to take risk and act innovatively, confidence or courage. So why? Why were people willing to take risks? The answer is actually in their prayer. So let's take a look at their prayer and go back to verse 24 to 28. So they say, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, the peoples plot in vain to do whatever your hand, your plan, had predestined to take place." So people aren't just bold because they want to be. There needs to be a reason behind their boldness. And that reason is God. That was the reasons for the first apostles, for the first Christian church. That's why they were able to pray for boldness. They had confidence in the sovereignty of God. And they had a strong belief and a conviction that gave them courage to take risk and to have confidence because they knew who was behind them, and it was the sovereign God. So with this understanding and dependence on God, that led them to face opposition with boldness. And so these verses reveal the sovereignty of God, God's absolute sovereignty, because God has control over all nature and human affairs, even in the lives of those who rebel against him, as we see in Acts chapter 4 to 28. And they know that God is stronger than their enemy, and that without pursuing God's will, their effort will be wasted. And that situation leads them to express their dependence on God in prayer. So, after establishing the sovereignty of God in both nature and human affairs, the first church then continues with two petitions. The first petition can be found in verse 29, and it says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." So they ask for boldness to speak with the word of God in the face of opposition. And this is not normal, because instead of a request for the removal of oppositions, they prayed for boldness. And this reveals their conviction, their strong conviction in the sovereignty of God, who is able to carry out his purpose even through the hands of his opposers. So with this understanding, the earliest Christians were able to accept the decision to follow Jesus, and also know that that meant they were going to experience something like the persecution that Jesus Christ himself had endured. And so their second petition in verse 30 says, "While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." They also asked for signs and wonders to happen in the name of Jesus. And their request for signs and wonder is contrary to what some of us may be thinking. They're not really asking, "God, please give us a sign so that we can believe in you more. We know that you are real." No, they didn't. That wasn't what they meant to do. Their ask for miracles was not for them to strengthen their belief in God. Their signs and wonders was actually to authenticate their words as apostles, as messengers for the good news of Christ. So just as we heard a couple weeks ago about Peter and John and the healing of the lame man from birth, these miracles are a way of directing attention to Jesus Christ, his authority. And their prayer was a call to him to continue to act with power through them. So overall, this prayer is an expression of their dependence on God, recognizing his sovereignty, that everything is under his control. So let's go back to the original question. Why did the believers pray for boldness? Well, it was because of their strong conviction that God is sovereign and that Jesus indeed died and rose again from the dead, and that God's kingdom will rule over all for all of eternity. So the sovereignty of God and boldness go together. We cannot be bold with no backup. We need to know that the sovereign God is for us, is behind us, before us. And although we might think the first Christian community was maybe too risky, these followers of Christ were not doing anything crazy because they truly believe that God is sovereign in their hearts. In fact, they had apostles with them in their church who were witnesses, they were eyewitnesses who can testify for what has happened with Jesus. So God is proven to be sovereign since Jesus has risen from the dead, and it is not just a blind faith that they had. It was a real faith that they strongly believed. So I have a question for you. Do you believe that God truly is sovereign? Because it's our faith, our belief in the sovereignty of God that determines what we do, what we say, and how we live our life. If knowing God is on our side, we can be bold for God. If God is for us, we also know that we will be exposed to suffering, just like Jesus. And many examples in the Bible show us that following God and spreading the good news of Jesus isn't always going to be easy. But when we have a strong conviction for the sovereignty of God, we won't be afraid to encounter suffering. Because we have a goal. We want the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to move forward to the ends of the earth, even if that means we may suffer a little bit. The belief that God is sovereign leads us to submit to him as King and Lord, and to no longer serving ourselves, but to follow and serve him. We are no longer living for ourselves. And when we don't live for ourselves, we will have a willingness to act with courage, confidence in our identity as followers of Christ, of the one true living King, so that we know we are in good hands. And even in the midst of persecution and even death, we can be bold. And when we believe, our actions will reveal our beliefs. So in Philippians chapter 1, we are told that only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. So when we truly believe that God is sovereign, it makes sense that we ask for boldness from him to continue to speak his word, to spread the truth, to transform lives, and share the hope that we have as followers of Christ with everyone around us. So then, what happened after their prayers? Well, in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So, three remarkable results: shaken, filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. So, first, shaken. The place they were at was shaken. So it was a special manifestation of God's power. And they were second, they were also filled with the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit was intensified. And third, they spoke the word of God boldly. So they had no fear in speaking the name of Jesus Christ. So these three remarkable results shows us that the prayer we saw from Acts 4:23-30 was answered, and the faithful community gathered in the presence of the Holy Spirit proved to be much more powerful than any worldly powers or rulers of the world. And this faithful community was not able to be constrained by earthly powers, because behind this faithful community of followers of Christ, there is a sovereign God. And they received a fresh filling of the Spirit so that with great power, they're able to continue their work of testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So as a result of their prayers and what God responded with, their community continued to flourish and grow in unity, proclaiming boldness the name of Jesus Christ. So being followers of Christ, we are called to be bold in proclaiming the name of Jesus to the world. And although now in Canada, we're not really facing persecution such as the first church, in which we may be jailed or be sentenced to death, as in the events recorded in the Bible or maybe in other parts of the world, why are we not talking about Jesus in everything that we do? The Christian community we've read in Acts so far has been a community that lived and breathed Jesus. Why is that most of us normally don't talk about Jesus unless maybe we're at church? If we truly believe that God is sovereign, it should impact our lives. We should want to talk about it in any conversation, anywhere, anytime. For example, when we know a good deal, what do? We want to share with everyone that we know, WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, and let them know of the sale that's happening. So why don't we do the same with the good news of Jesus? And today, although there is no too much direct persecution for our faith, there are indeed subtle indirect obstacles that hinder us from sharing the gospel about Jesus freely. For example, we don't want to offend anyone, and we don't want to force anyone to believe in Christ. That's one big example that I hear often, and sometimes I feel that myself. But maybe, if you think deeper, maybe the number one biggest obstacle that is in our way is actually ourselves, because it's our love for comfort. We don't want to step out of our comfort zone. We want to stay comfortable and where we're at. So then, what little things can we do to step out of our comfort zone and step out in boldness? Well, first thing we can do is, just like the apostles did, pray to be faithful and bold, and pray for a willingness to embrace changes and discomfort. So be comfortable with changes happening in our lives. We can also pray for a willingness to embrace the unknown and uncertainty, to step out in faith, to walk by faith and not by sight, and trust in God's plan and his will for us. And you can also pray for a willingness to embrace suffering and persecution. So in our context, maybe not to fear rejection or fear standing out. And our action is, we can ask God to give us one opportunity this coming week to step out of our comfort zone to share and talk about Jesus. So pray for one opportunity this week to share about and talk about Jesus. So for example, you can tell a friend about Jesus. Bring it up in a conversation if that's not something you already do. Or tell a friend you went to church over the weekend if your friend maybe doesn't know that you go to church. Or maybe if you're comfortable with the two things that I mentioned above, you can invite a friend to church. Or even if you're comfortable, pray for a friend who may not be a Christian. Or something you can do is share your testimony, an encounter with Jesus with a friend. How has Jesus made a difference in your life? And don't be afraid to ask God to show his power and show his care in that person's life, because we know that God is sovereign and he can do all things. So let us all commit to taking one small step in boldness to share with people around us about Jesus. Maybe think of a person right now in your mind and do that this week. Share about how much God loves us and how he has a purpose for us and for all of us to participate, and how he is sovereign over the world. So together, we can be bold in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because we know that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over all. So let us all stand, and I'll end us with a prayer and invite the music team to come up. Let's pray. Sovereign God, you're sovereign over all things. You hold the world in your hands. With you on our side, there is nothing we need to fear. God, I pray you will grant us the boldness to proclaim your word and share the living hope that we have in you only, Lord. Help us to always be reminded of your sovereignty and that through you, we are able to do all things because you will strengthen us. You will grant us boldness when we ask in your name. Give us boldness to proclaim and speak about you in everything that we do. May our lives reflect you. And as we share about Jesus this coming week, may you use this opportunity to work in us, transform us, and mold us to become more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.